trade it to Robin Mottipersen.
It'd probably only be right and proper to start off by mentioning we're missing here my great uncle Ron Hyman, who's not joining us anymore in Shia. He was a familiar face and we all enjoyed him so much. He added so much to the Shia. Besides in the Shia, problem was for us when we try and leave, he used to hijack us on the way out with his questions, stories, horrors. You had to be careful what you said when he was around, because he held you to task and he made sure you weren't selling anyone anything which wasn't 100% authentic and right. And it's a big loss that we have here at Duraway. We hope we'll have a chizuk l'inyan nishmasai. We know now he's in a better place and he's enjoying the rewards for all that he put into the hours of joining us daily in this shiur. I was travelling last week in a taxi for a long journey, close to an hour, with an Arab taxi driver, and seeing that I've much discussed with him, I turned to my favourite topic. I started discussing religion, philosophy, ideology, the difference between Yidden and Arabs, Lahavdil, their religion, our religion. We actually realized that coming from the same, originally from Avraham Avinu, there isn't that many differences between ours and theirs in many points. There's one major difference. We're not going to discuss how they relate to other people. We normally just do a handshake and they do other stuff. But many things were similar. And it got me thinking, interesting topic. And he asked me the question outright. He said to me, what is a Yid? What is the definition of a Yid? You wanted to know the definitive definition. What's that void of a Yid? Now, for sure we know the gulf between a Yid and a Goy is huge, and there is a major difference. In many things we do, just last night I was walking along about just after midnight, Barry New Road, and this Goy came over to me and tried to attack me. I was with my wife, we managed to run very fast, seeing as I was quicker than he was. We called Shemrim. A little while later, Shemrim called me back, he attacked another Yid. Because I had called Shemrim, they were unseen, they managed to get hit. To get him to the ground, he called the police. And after I gave my statement to the police, I got home about 4 o'clock in the morning, and I was thinking to myself, there's a big difference between us and them. We don't need to optage. What is the difference? Go and look, see, you'll see the difference between a Yid and a Goy. But we wanted to know, what is the definition? How do you define it? What is the difference between a Yid and a Goy? This is not a simple question. When they first made the State of Israel and they introduced the right of return, any Yid can run back there to Israel if he needs to. They had the discussion then. What does it mean, any Yid? Who's a Yid? And at the time, the government were very perplexed, and they asked the philosophers and the thinkers for ideas. How do you define a Yid? What's a Yid? Someone says, I identify as a Yid, I'm a Yid. Suddenly, I say I'm a Yid, I tick the I'm a Yid box. And they asked the Gedolim at the time, they came to Pshach famously, and Pshach gave his big speech, which was televised, and he discussed, what is a Yid?
Someone who drives a Previa.
You drive along, you see a bunch of double-parked Previas, is that a Yid? There's many different ideas. What does it mean? Now, for sure we know, biologically, if your mother's Jewish, you're Jewish. But if you wanted to, someone told me they were actually in India, and this person tapped them on the shoulder and said, pleased to meet you, I just found out that my mother and her mother was Jewish. What do I do? What's the first, my first move? Interesting question was, sometimes people offer the answer, you do a mitzvah, you do mitzvahs. Now, this is not so simple, because the Rambam writes that if a goy does a mitzvah, he gets schar like a Yid. Maybe he's not mitzvah oisa, but the idea is that he'll be able to get reward in Olam Haba. There are exceptions. And those were the three that Yevonim were very upset about. Misa, Rosh Chodesh, and Mila. Mila because it means you're a chatzi Yid. Shabbos, Goy Shabbos is also. And Rosh Chodesh, it's another reason why a goyim can't do it. But besides those three, any mitzvah, a goy was on tefillin this morning, the Rambam holds, I'm not saying all Rishonim holds, but the Rambam holds gets tzcha. So how does it work? So what? So you tell the person, okay, go do mitzvahs. Go serve Hashem. A goy could serve Hashem too. They have the seven mitzvahs. They have the way of also knowing that Hashem is. I was once in the. It was just after COVID, and I was walking along the beach in Gateshead. Now, I don't know if you know people in Gateshead. They're not always the brightest. So I was walking along there up north, and it was beautiful. You could see the sea, the countryside, or summer holidays, just after COVID. And this guy came over to me and said to me, look at all this beauty, the sea, the mountains. Who created all this? So I thought he was going to, you know, you don't know where you're going with this. He said to me, do you know, a lot of people here will probably think it was the NHS. Because after COVID, we've lived the last 2 years that they run the world. Because let me tell you, it's not NHS. It was God Almighty. And I was with another man at the time, and I said to him, this guy has a lot of emunah, because he literally looked at this beauty. He thought, where's it come from? And where's the origin? Mi bara kolele, as Avraham Avinu asked. And he came with his own recognition. He didn't go to one of our moisters and we told him. He just said, wow, Hashem created the world. It's amazing. The person next to me was very disturbed. What do you mean, a goy? Emunah, kav, emunah, who's a goy? I said, I think that's literal emunah. He literally believes in Hashem. The same the Ribbono Shel Olam you believe in, he believes in, the one that created the world. When he prays to Hashem, he prays, oh my God, that it could be tefillah. Maybe that's what the Rambam means, a goy that does mitzvah getzcha. So if that's the point, then it just compounds the question, it intensifies it. So what's the difference between us and this? We have more mitzvahs, okay. But we look at ourselves as Am Sukula, how... What's... Oh, so I think the answer lies in one fact. It's not about the tefillin you put on your arm or the matzah you eat. It's also that, but it's much more than that. Being a yid, I think, begins in your brain, in the knowledge. The Rambam says in Parshas Bo, every mitzvah we do is just to regain the knowledge and the emunah and understanding that we're doing of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Which brings out a big problem. If that's true, then a person could... For example, we all just davened shachris recently. You put on tefillin, sitters, you daven, and if you don't have the thought and you don't understand what you're doing and the connection, it could be the mitzvah is in jeopardy, because we're saying the defining factor between a yid and a goy is the knowledge, is the understanding. Where I'm segula. The marshal I gave was, you're driving down to London. There's two kids in the back of the car. One of them is your child, and one is your child brings a friend with. There's two children. One's not yours. One's someone else, and one's your child. Now both kids you'll give a lift to. I hope. Both kids you'll treat with respect, I hope. You got some Nash, you'll give it to both of them. We don't want to make any fights. But, so someone looks and says, what, it's just two random kids? No, I know, and they know, that one is my child and one isn't. That means the love and the connection, the relationship we have is different with that child to that child. And that's really how a yid has to look at himself. We know with Am Segula, Hashem chose us. Hashem Baruch Abonu Mikolam. Hashem chose us, and that's what we have. So when we do the mitzvahs, it could be the guy is praying, and we're praying. Sometimes you pray together. I was once in the hospital room here in Manchester. I was using the multicultural room back then. I don't know if it's changed. And I was praying on my side by the Shabbos section. And there was an Arab praying on the other side. And I was thinking to myself, Ma bin Zelazeh, what's the difference? We're both praying. Different language, that's the whole difference. The answer is that we know with Am Segula, you have two kids in the back of the car. And they both say to the driver, do you have a drink? And the driver gives a drink, but one's a child, one isn't a child, and that's the fundamental difference. The problem is, it's very big mechayev as well. I once by a shmuz by Rabbi Tzio Salomon many years ago, I think it was my only time ever, where I went to him live. I was a child, my father said to me, come, he's speaking on Yom Tov, engage the shul, come, let's hear him. So off I went, and Rabbi Tzio said, you come to Shemayim, and the Rebbe says, you're a good Jew, sure, me. I'm a good Jew, I'm the best Jew, I did everything right. Shabbos, tefillin, Yom Tov, whatever you ask, I did it. Shem says, okay, let's start. He opens Shulchan Aruch, the first Ramah and Siman Aleph, Siv Aleph, Shavisi Hashem Lenegdi Samet. You're like, oh, why did you have to start with that? Couldn't have gone to something simpler? Sukkah, Chanukah, Shavisi Hashem, that's the opening remark of the Ramah. Did you keep that? Because that's really the job of a year, to always know that this relationship is strong and real and fast, and nothing can break it or hinder it. And with that, it's a big Mechayev. He's always there, Hashem is always there. It's a very scary thought. I was in someone's house once, and they had on the wall opposite where the person was sitting, a big sign. Actually, I was very jealous, and I was thinking, maybe I should buy one too. A huge big sign, written on klaf, in ksav ashuras, Shvisi Hashem Lenegdi Somet. I'm sure the chazan has at the front of shul, Shvisi Hashem Lenegdi Somet. And I thought, wow, this is amazing. Then I realized, maybe better not. Every time you do anything, oh my, what's going on? Hashem's watching me. You're about to send a message. Maybe not. Maybe this message isn't the right message to send. And you know, you've got a safer then, you open the paper. Maybe not. But that's really what the job is. It's Shvisi Hashem, it's the connection. We're not a goy. Why are we not a goy? Because we're on a different level, a different playing field. We're on a higher level. We have this relationship with Hashem. This week said, Bilam said, I want to die like a goy. I want to die like a yid. Mois nafshi, mois yishorim. But the job of a yid is not just to die, it's to live like a yid. As was said by the Levi of Ram. You've got to live like a yid, and that relationship that a yid has is special and unique, and nothing can ever change it, damage it, or break it. So Isaac Newton, all brings to memory the apple falling on our head. Watch out. So Isaac Newton was a very clever man, apparently, discovered gravity, although some people struggle to think what was so. Yeah, Isaac, nice Jewish name. And he wants to create, he wanted to study the planets, and he built his model of all the different planets, the galaxies, the stars, the moon, the Milky Way, all the cosmic different properties that we have in outer space. And he built a whole model. It was moving as well. He had the sun, the earth, which was moving around. And it was an amazing edifice to see. He took great pride in it. One day he invited a friend round, and the friend said to him, "Wow, this is unbelievable. This is amazing. Look at this." Back then, no one had such a sophisticated knowledge of so much, and the way he had built it was so brilliant. And the friend said to him, "Wow, this is amazing. You made this yourself?" He said, "No." I'll tell you what happened. I was actually sitting here quietly in my office one day, and there was a big bang. And suddenly, this thing just popped out, and everything just started revolving and moving. The friend said, "No, seriously." He said, "No, seriously, what happened?" There was a big bang, and all this just created itself out of a few atoms and a few chemicals. Friend said, "Don't be silly, it's not possible." He said, "But you believe that about the real world, the entire built-up world that we know, this is where you believe it came from." Part of the job of being a Yid is to push the Emunah to know and understand simple. The Bi'alocha, right at the beginning, brings us sheish, misses to medias. I was telling someone yesterday, we put so much emphasis in Klal Yisrael on what we wear. I was actually giving a shiur in a very ultra-religious school here. I won't tell you which one. And the boys were asking me, "Do we have to wear a cap for davening? Do we have to wear a kapel? Do I have to wear black and white, the penguin suit?" Whoops, the microphone went. "Do I have to wear, do I have to have pears behind my ears?" You know, all these things. And it was very much disturbing them. And I was telling someone afterwards, we put a lot of emphasis in this. Why? Okay, it could be there's importance to it. But I said, there's things like the sheish mitzvahs to me, there's the six mitzvahs that Halacha brings at the beginning that you've got to always remember every day. Hashem Echad, there's no one else that joins Hashem, all the power goes to Him. And how much emphasis do we put on that? Maybe part of the Emunah is knowing and remembering and understanding and living with this fact. The Rebbe Hashem runs the world, governs the world, controls the world, and everything we have comes from Him, and our relationship with Him, we are Ben Yochid. We are Ben Yochid, we're connected to Hashem, and that's what the defining factor is between Yid and a Goy. So you and the Goy can put on tefillin, he'll both get schar. There's like two kids in the back of the car, one's a child, one isn't a child. And there's a different difference of relationship, and that can never be changed. I heard from Rav Ashkin that when he was in jail, every day the postman used to come with post, and the Goyim in jail there don't really get much. You know, who cares about everyone else? I was in hospital in Inverness, Scotland, for a while after I had a car crash. And I received everyday visitors. It was the summer holidays many years ago. You remember the tragic car crash that claimed two lives. And I was in hospital afterwards, and people came to visit. And round the clock, with any kid who was in Scotland within a 100-mile radius came to visit. They brought food. They brought all sorts. I have a couple. Someone brought me a couple. And the guy said to me, "Are you a celebrity?" I said, "Grady, yeah. You want my autograph?" He said, "Unbelievable." He said, "The guy said, I've been here for 6 years, I twice got a visitor. You've been here for 6 minutes. And the amount that was coming in, and I had food there which wasn't shach to eat, I would probably still be eating it had I kept it. Now, years on, the amount of... And a guy just gets lost and forlorn. Migam chisho, we take a look after each other." So Rabashkin said he was in jail there, and the postman used to come every day, have a few letters for the inmates. And then he brought him this sack, everyone had this huge big bag of mail. Hundreds of letters. One day he received over 200 letters. The amount of mail he got every day, people giving him chizuk. People asking him for chizuk. And eventually it caused jealousy, and there were other inmates who said to Rav Ashkin, "You're stealing our mail." He said, "I'm stealing your mail." He said, "Yeah, it can't be, you have so much. This mail must be for me." He said, "Look, every letter says my name on the front, and the prison sift through it. How can that be?" And they were very disturbed. And he said to them, "I don't understand. First, there's my name on. Secondly, half the letters are in Yiddish. So you can read Yiddish, you want the letters?" And he said after he came out, he realized how stupid we all are. We look at someone else and say, "That car, those kids, their house is mine. You took my house." I remember a girl once said to me, "This other girl took my shidduch. I was going to go out with that boy, and she got engaged to him, she took my shidduch." I said, "I don't think it's not normal this. How can someone else, if you believe the Emunah Shleima, the Rebbe Hashem runs the world, and everything is exact, which is the first job of a Yid?" Sorry? Oh, yeah, there is that Musaq, granted by a shidduch. That's a bad example. But the idea is that they're granted the mirror, depends on tefillah, how it could change. But the idea is that everything is pre-planned by Hashem, and that's part of the Emunah Shleima that we have as a Yid. That's the basic difference between us and a guy, is the knowledge, the understanding, the relationship, the Emunah, the Rebbe created the world, the Hashgacha Pratis, how everything is done, and Hashem looks after us in an exact way, and no one's stealing your mail, and no one's stealing anything else that you have. Another aspect to this relationship we have with Hashem is the love we have for Hashem and the love Hashem has for us. Or Hafti Eschem Omar Hashem, at the end of Micha, the last Novi, the last message that the Rebbe Hashem left us before we went into the long, dark, deep galus. The Rebbe Hashem says, Or Hafti Eschem, my connection and my love for you is unparalleled. And it's something that a Yid has to always know and understand, because there are going to be tough times that come along the whole time. But we know there's that love. We know the Rebbe Hashem loves us. Ben kach bonahim, the Gemara says. Rashi says, we go like, Rebbeya. The Rebbe Hashem has this eternal love, avos, oylov, avarabba, the connection and the love, because a relationship is not just two-way, that I do for you, do for me, but it's also grounded in such deep, fonded love that Rebbe Hashem has for us, we have for Hashem. And that's another dimension to this relationship that a goy doesn't have. A goy is Rebbe Hashem likes him like he likes everything he created. But the miyuchadik love, like the two kids in the car, the goy is the other kid. Okay, I'll help you, I'll give you a lift, I'll be nice to you, I'll look after you. But you don't mean to me as much as the other person. And that's another dimension to this relationship, this love and connection we have with Hashem. There was a story going around on the Vayimoyin videos last week with this woman who came to Yaakov Galinsky. And she said to him that I made the mistake, I went off the derech, I married an Arab. And now I came back, but Tshuva Shalema, many years ago actually I came back with my son. We came back, my son's also Jewish, seeing as I'm Jewish. And I came back into the fold, but she was very sad, she was crying. She said, but my son, he went back, he joined the Arabs again, and he's engaged to an Arab girl. After years of giving him a proper Yid Shechinach, after I was Chizbet Tshuva, he went back. And she was very disturbed, and she said, he's going to get married to this Arab. It's the last thing I want. So Rabbi Galinsky said to her, bring the boy to me. He came to Rabbi Galinsky said to him, have you ever heard of the Chofetz Chaim? He said, sure, Chofetz Chaim, who hasn't heard of the great tzaddik, the Talmud Chacham, the Chofetz Chaim, who revolutionized Klal Yisrael in the last generation with so much Torah and mitzvahs, the Sefer Chofetz Chaim, the Mishneh Berurah, the tzaddik, sure I know the Chofetz Chaim. He said to him, do you know the Chofetz Chaim was like you? He also married a guy. So the boy looked at him and said, what? The Chofetz Chaim married a guy? I never heard of this. He said, yeah, I'm telling you, you married a guy. The boy was thinking, said, no, it can't be. So Rabbi Galinsky said, look, they never told you. I'm telling you, he married a guy. I know history, he married a guy. The boy said, what? It can't be. So Rabbi Galinsky said to him, why can't it be? He said, it can't be. The Chofetz Chaim was such a tzaddik, such a bad madriga. He can't be married a guy. I just don't believe it. Rabbi Galinsky said to him, as much as you don't believe about the Chofetz Chaim, I don't believe about you. Because the difference between the Chofetz Chaim and you have the same neshama. You come from Yisrael Yaakov, you both stood at Har Sinai. The Chiyuv and the Issa is exactly the same, you and him. So he has worked on himself and reached a very high madriga. But Sharasha, the neshama, is the same neshama. The Rebbe Hashem looks at you and him with the same love, the same intensity, the same everything. And as much as it would be so foreign for the Chofetz Chaim to drop down such a madriga, it's the same thing for you. Your neshama will struggle and suffer the same as the Chofetz Chaim's. And made such an impression upon the boy because he realized this message that we're different. We're both Jewish, me and the Chofetz Chaim, the same neshama, the same Yid, we all are Hasinai. And with that impression, he changed his whole life journey and he became a from Yid. And he moved on because the message was so apparent how a Yid and a Goy are so different. We can't have any Shaykhs them in that way because we're just no Shaykhs. And sometimes, like we said, it's so like last night, I was so easy to see the difference between Yid and a Goy. I didn't need to delve into any philosophy, it was easy to see. But sometimes we forget, you see a very nice guy, very well. Now with politicians, it's easy to see the difference between Yid and a guy, because the difference between them, even the ones who are meant to be doing what's right, and us, there's a big gap. But if sometimes you see an elch, a guy who does everything right, and you realize, you know, wow, this guy's amazing. It's true, he's amazing. But his father and our father, which is just different, we have the Rebbein Shalom that we have as our father, and they don't. Another aspect to this is the fact that we know that the Rebbe Hashem loves us, we have this connection, we're Yid. It should bring on intense simcha. The Chasam Sofer writes that he said over in his drasha, in his son's bar mitzvah, he said the first mitzvah when a boy comes bar mitzvah, he hears sometimes in drasha, they discuss the Chiv Krishma, is it a Chiv Mariv, what is it? It can't be sitzes because it's at night, and it's a sofik if it's at night, and tefillin certainly not until the next morning. What's the first Chiv of a mitzvah boy? And the Chasam Sofer writes, he said over the first mitzvah of a mitzvah is simcha. The mitzvah, we say mitzvah gdele is with simcha, the Chasam Sofer wasn't a breslover by any stretch of imagination. He said, we've got to have simcha to know where we am segula, to know where a yid upon this nation. That's the first avoid of a yid. That's the first thing a yid has to feel. Because we know that this relationship is something different, it's something special. And the knowledge of Shvisi Hashem is not something that's going to make us afraid and scared and worried and depressed and down. Rather, it's going to inspire us and build us to reach the madriga of what a yid really is. I was listening to a shiur last week, Someone was saying an interesting point. He said, we know that there's Esau, Sion, and Yaakov, they hate us. Right, we don't need to delve into this. It's obvious. The goyim across the spectrum all hate us. Even ones who don't hate us probably just a bit less. But why is it this sinner? What have we done that's so bad? Why are we so hated? And he said, interesting idea. He said, it could be it comes all from jealousy because they know in their subconscious mind that they were offered it too. The Rosh went to them too. And they asked them, do you want the Torah? And are you interested in this? And because they said no, they feel inside the second class citizen. They know that we're connected to Ribbono Shel Olam. They know better than us sometimes about the word Am Segula. And that's what bothers them. Just like you see someone else who gets, I don't know, you're trying to buy a house and he buys it first. There's always an element of jealousy. We have to work on the Loisach Moed. But we feel like, I could have got this and you got it. And that's when they feel in their deepest depth of their subconscious mind, they know that we are the Am Segula and they're not, and that's what bothers them. That's what brings on this hate, this Esau, Sion, and Yaakov, because they know there's a difference between us and them. And we have to take this knowledge and act upon it and work with it. And tomorrow morning when we put on our tefillin, or today when we daven mincha, we do any mitzvah, we have to have this knowledge as well, because if we don't have the understanding, I just saw yesterday randomly in a sefer, he was saying, interesting point, the Gemara says, Godel Aveira Loi Lishma Mi Mitzvah Lishma. Which means it's better to do an avera, an avera lishma, than a mitzvah not lishma. So, a person wants to do something wrong; they know it's wrong, but it's going to bring about more kavod shemaim. The Gemara says better to do that than a mitzvah without kavana. Now, we don't really do this. Reb Chaim famously said that there's three things he doesn't understand. This is one of them. What does it mean avera lishma? How's it shach? The minute it's an avera, it's something Hashem doesn't want. It doesn't make sense. But the idea is, the concept behind this line is that something done lishma, even wrong, in a way, in a certain aspect, is better than a mitzvah than loy lishma. So a person could do something which seems like a mundane act, but he's doing it with the right kavana. I'm doing this, okay, I'm eating just because, you know, I've got to eat. And anything, do you know Hashem wants me to live? Boom, he got a mitzvah. And then he puts on his sittis, and the whole day he goes along with sittis. Every minute, he never crosses his mind. The Gemara is saying, Godel, Aver, Lishma, Mimitzvah, Lo Lishma, because sometimes the thought process defines the mitzvah in such a strong way that without it, the mitzvah has been cheapened to a level, then Aver, Lishma may be better. Interesting idea how it takes a fundamental part, this center stage, this kavana that we have to have throughout our day, in every mitzvah we do, every aspect of our life, and everything we ever do. There's a famous story they give, maybe it's a marshal, I don't know, this teacher came into class with a £50 note and said, anyone this £50 note? I actually did it once with a school and it worked very well. It was the one day I had I don't normally have £50 notes. I had a £50 note and I said, who wants a £50 note? It's only by the evening you see them. So I said, who wants a £50 note? And they were like, are you sure we want it? So I crumpled up the £50 note, squashed it. It looked crumpled and horrible. Anyone still want it? Sure we'll want it. I put it on the floor, I stamped on it. Anyone still want it? Sure, every child still wanted this £50 note. The story goes on with it. I didn't have enough with me. The teacher dipped in his coffee, put in some mud, put in some ketchup, some mayonnaise, mixed it around. It looked disgusting, revolting. This thing, no one wanted to touch it. And he picked up, whoa. Anyone still want a £50 note? And everyone still wanted it. He said, I don't understand. This thing is crumpled, it's dirty, it's moldy, it's been stamped on, it's gone in the mud, it's gone in mayonnaise and ketchup and coffee. Why does anyone still want it? And the kids can put it into words, but the teacher offered them explanation that the intrinsic value of this never changes. No one could damage it, no one can break it, no one could chip away. This thing was £50, will always be £50. And the teacher said that a neshama of a yid can never be changed, damaged, compromised, spoiled, chipped, ruined, broken. It's there forever. And the color and the shape of our neshama is what defines us as the years, and that can and will never change. A person can go down to the deepest depths of deprivation, but that won't change the neshama, because the yid is always the yid. And that emuna that we have and know, that when we do a mitzvah, we're doing an unbelievable change in the world, and that can never be achieved by a goy. A goy could do the best things ever. The best. A goy could try and be the best goy shaykh. He will never touch on the toes of a yid doing the smallest mitzvah. Because the yid reaches a level they can never, ever reach. I hear the story about Shlomo Kalibach. I don't know if you're allowed to mention him here. Grad is my great uncle. Shlomo Kalibach was once in Germany, and this person came out of a bar completely drunk, staggering along. And he said to him, he looked at Shlomo Kalibach and said, Ah, it's the yid. I'm the next yid. I'm the worst yid in the whole world. And Shlomo Kalibach said to him, it could be. Oh, but a yid to be, you're still a yid. You can't change that. You could be, you looking at yourself as the worst yid. The worst yid is still a yid. And the 50 pound note has gone through the worst. It's unrecognizable. But if you clean away the grime and dirt, it's a 50 pound note. And that was the message that he was telling this Yid. Don't worry, he's still a Yid. Because a Yid is a Yid. And that kavanah that we have in a mitzvah has to all this, as we put into every mitzvah and every step we take and everything we do. Basically, he'll be sitting home quietly by himself, doing absolutely nothing. For a minute, mispoinen. Do you know what? I'm a Yid. I'm Amsakula. The relations up there watching me. I love him. He loves me. That connection. Rav Gdemili used to say, you walk along the road, you're bored, you have nothing to do. Say, Hashem, I love you. And with that, you get a mitzvah deraisa. And then you say, Hashem loves me. Another mitzvah deraisa. And then you say, I love every Yid. A third mitzvah deraisa. You know how much we spend on an Arab Avinim? This is three mitzvahs in the space of 7 seconds, and it costs you nothing. Being Jewish, we don't want to spend our money. This is free, one after the next. You give the change mitzvahs to midyas, and again, mitzvah, mitzvah, mitzvah. But that's the knowledge and understanding of what Yid is. There's a famous story we're going to end off, which you've all heard a million times, but it's an amazing story. Yaakov Galinsky, again, we said the story with him already. He was in Siberia, and there was this. Every night he saw this guy in the next bunk, used to get up, rummage around with the bag under his bed, he used to walk up and down, rummage around again with the bag, go back to bed, and every night he's so curious, what's going on? He waited the next night, the same thing again. Eventually, after a few days, he apprehended him, said to him, what are you doing? And the piss was so frightened, said, don't worry, I'm also an inmate here, I'm also a prisoner, I'm not going to do anything, I'm just curious, what's this all about? And he said to him that I was a general in the Polish army, not just a general, I was a very high ranking, I was decorated with medals, I was a high ranking general in the Polish army, and I was taken by the Russians, and now I'm a common prisoner like you and everyone else here in Siberia, treated like anyone else. And I want to remember this knowledge of who I am. I'm not just anyone. Do you know who I am? How many years I had to work till I got to this level? And therefore, every night I go into my bed, I have a bag there of my old clothes with all the medals on them, and I put them on, and I walk up and down, and I salute. Here I am, the Polish general. To remember who I really am, I should never lose my own self-dignity and pride to think I'm just a common prisoner. This reminds me who I really am. It keeps me rooted and grounded with the knowledge of where I come from. Said Ryakalinsky, he said, the Yid needs to do the same thing. We sometimes forget, okay, I'm just another guy. I wear this funny thing on my head and everyone else doesn't. No, we have to remember who we are. We have to march up and down and give the royal salute, knowing who we come from, our origin of Rami Yaakov, the greatness that every Yid has. And the understanding that with the 50 pound note, that can never be damaged, can never be ruined. This, everything we ever see was created for any Yid. And it could be, as Shlomo Kalbach said, the worst Yid. But the worst Yid is still a Yid. The 50 pound note can never be damaged. The value of Yid is always the same. And we put on our tefillin tomorrow morning, which is a mitzvah that sometimes we say, Nimuchan is more kavana. But even don't go so far. We pick up a drink today and we say, Baruch Ato Hashem, Shehakon. We should stop for a moment and remember, we're making a bracha, and a goy can make a bracha too. And the goy will get schar too. But our bracha and his bracha are something that will never come close. It's like Korav Zelzeh, the depth and the value, the appreciation Hashem has for our mitzvah and his mitzvah, as long as it began in our head. And that's the defining factor. If we go out to Ben Gurion and tell him, what is the Yid? I think this is the answer. This is what is the Yid.
Amen. 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 Am